But let's look at John chapter 2, verses 1 through 5. The third day, there was a marriage in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. Both Jesus was called, his disciples, to the marriage. Isn't it good when Jesus is called to the marriage? Well, when you get that, you shout hallelujah, because it is good. And when they wanted wine, the mother of Jesus said unto him, they have no wine. Jesus saith unto her, woman, what have I to do with thee? Mine hour is not yet come. The timing's not quite right for all of this. And then his mother said to the servants, and here's where I wanted to go with this word, whatsoever. Somebody just say it with me. Whatsoever. Whatsoever he says unto you, do it. And I raised him. I know I raised him. Now he's starting to smart talk me a little bit, so I'm just going to let him do what he's going to do. And so whatever he wants you to do, whatsoever he says to do, do it. And so here the Lord is already beginning to draw the lines that no matter what anyone else says, it needs to match with what I share with you. It needs to match the Word of God. It needs to go with the Scripture. Because, ladies and gentlemen, contrary to what this world wants, we have got to have lines. If there are no lines, God only knows where everything could wind up going. Amen. I don't know, for the most part, maybe they've won the agenda about the homosexuality and lesbian thing. I don't know. I don't even keep up with it. I just got to preach the word over here at Landmark. But I just know this. Win that battle, and then there's going to be another one. And then after that one, you're going to think I'm silly, but I'm telling you, I read where a man married a tree in California. Thank God I started a church in North Carolina. Praise God. And, you know, it will get crazy if there's no... The Word of God is our line. And we follow the Word of God with a made-up mind and a determination. And we're saying, whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. Praise God. Let's look to the Lord as we just simply try to preach for just a few minutes. I feel the Lord's already done great things. The altars have already been filled with those hungry, thirsty, and being filled. And so I want to preach whatsoever. Whatsoever. Amen. Let's look to the Lord. Jesus, we thank you for the privilege, and we praise you for the opportunity. We ask you, Master, to bless every individual in the house of God tonight. Lord, tonight there are those that are flowing in a blessing. There are those, Lord, that are stressed financially. There are those, Lord, that are in the balance and being weighed spiritually. And the issue is heaven or hell, and they haven't quite made up their mind as of yet. But Lord, whatever the situation, I ask you to move greatly, mightily, and powerfully in Jesus' name. Somebody shout amen. God richly bless you as you're seated just now, but continue to worship the Lord. Whatsoever vicariously has been replaced through the ages of time by the word whatever. And then it's morphed into an act of euphemism, a cheaper, less expensive, and quicker way to obtain attention rather than developing or earning it. In other words, when mom or dad says, if you stay in school, if you study hard, or if you wait until you're old enough, rather than digging in and committing to higher level, it's much cheaper. It's easier, and it's less time consuming to just say whatever. How many kids, how many young people, and this is not a young person's sermon, but maybe we'll go there for a few minutes. How many young people have you ever seen that you go to and say, look, I've been through that. I've faced all of that. I've done that. I've been there. I've got the t-shirt, the coffee mug, and the pen. And here I am telling you, you don't need to do that. So if you can bypass that, dedicate yourself, give yourself to education, give yourself to study, give yourself to discipline already. Even with me preaching it like that, with that little bit of force, they're going, whatever. Amen. Because it's morphed. The word whatsoever he says to do has been changed into a nonchalant whatever. Amen. And so you're really saying what? Never. Adults are not exempt. When it comes time to self-discipline and all of this, child raising, finances, it's just easier, cheaper, and less time consuming to simply say whatever. You're really trying to say I'm uninterested and I am not concerned. Amen. However, let me just flip the coin and say this. Being uninterested and unconcerned can be a good thing. But you need to be uninterested and unconcerned in the bad things. In other words, when gossip comes your way, no thank you, I'm uninterested. When the enemy comes in like a flood, amen, no thanks, I'm uninterested. When misery loves company and it comes your way, no thanks, I'm uninterested. When compromise, cheapness, can I make up a word? How about when lessness? When being less than what you should be for the glory of God, when that comes knocking on your door, what should we do then? Amen. Let's just tell the enemy we are not interested. That we are interested only in doing whatsoever the Lord tells us to do. Amen. I'm not here with an attitude to say whatever. Whatever, I don't care, whatever, I'm not interested in what you're preaching, whatever, I'm not here for that, amen. I sense some trouble in your future, amen. But for those of you that are seated spiritually and mentally on the edge of your seat and you're leaning forward and you want to know what the Word of God says to your life, then I sense a blessing coming your way. I sense some great things coming your direction. I see the Lord high and lifted up in your life. When that prophet of God said, when the year his king died, he said, I saw the Lord high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. You know what that train was? Every time in the Old Testament when a king won a battle, they would capture the king of that tribe. And they would cut about an 8 to 12 inch piece of his royal garment off. And they would sew that to the hem of the conquering king. And the Bible said, Isaiah said, I saw the Lord high and lifted up, and his train fills the temple. How can it fill the temple? Because he's already won every battle that you will ever fight. He's already raised, listen, he's already conquered every sickness you'll go through. He's already conquered everything that you will face in life. Praise God. Look at Brother Mike praising God. Just last week, amen, just a month ago got diagnosed with cancer. And just last week, they gave him 3 tests. The doctor said, it can't be. The cancer has got to be there. Let me run another test. It can't be. It's got to be there. The 3rd test. It can't be. Let me run another test. Finally, Brother Mike walked out of the hospital and said, I ain't running another test. My God has healed my body, and I claim it in Jesus' name. Because his train fills the temple. Hallelujah. Somebody ought to see the Lord high and lifted up right now. Because if you're just sitting there saying whatever, you're going to need that king before long. You're going to need his assistance before long. Amen. And as the man already said, he'll be there. Because he's full of grace and he's full of mercy. Amen. But we can save ourselves a multitude of trouble. Amen. Jonah learned the hard way. Although Nineveh was huge, the most important city in Assyria, soon to become the capital of the Assyrian Empire, that wasn't even God's concern. Nineveh was lost, and God chose Jonah to go. Jonah's attitude was, whatever, I'm out of here. He jumps a ship, and it was the worst decision he ever made in his life. We know what happened to Jonah. Eventually cast off into the ocean, swallowed. Let's look at where the cheaper, easier, and more convenient route took Jonah. Four short chapters in Jonah's life, and they were spent for the most part with Jonah. He was running from God, tossed into the sea to die, abandoned. Where was his friends then? 3 days in the guts of a huge fish. The world is huge. The world is relentless. You may never know how low you can go and how low you can stoop until you're swallowed up by the world. But even at that point, ladies and gentlemen, there is a God. I'm telling you, Jonah cried out to God in the belly of a whale, and the Lord heard him. Hallelujah. Amen. He can hear you in a hell. He can hear you in a good point. He can hear you in a heaven. He can hear you in a blessing. He can hear you in a depression. He can hear you in an addiction. He can hear you in an affliction. But what you've got to do is you've got to cry out to him. Hallelujah. I've never seen anybody receive anything from God with their mouth closed. Amen. We've got to cry out to him. Hallelujah. They cried out to him, and Jesus said, if these hold their peace, I'll let the rocks cry out. And then I read in a National Geographic magazine where if you spend a night in the desert and you've never done that before, you better be forewarned or you're going to have the life scared out of you. Because the scientist said that night when the temperatures began to change and the rocks and the temperature and all that jazz began to come into motion, he said those rocks and crevices began to moan and groan. He said it sounded like a multitude of people crying out. Hey, where there's no people crying out, the very rocks will cry out. If Jesus said it, then it is so. Do you hear me? Amen. I'm just here to tell you, like the old song says, ain't no rock gonna cry out. Not for me. I have come to this place to worship God, to magnify God. I've got needs. I need this God, and I will cry out to him. Praise God. Amen. So Jonah learned. He was running from God. Amen. Jonah finally said, changed it from whatever to whatsoever. Lord, it's not whatever now. It's whatsoever you want. Get me out of this mess. And he always is able to get you out of the mess. But don't forget the promise, lest you wind up in another mess. Right? Amen. We don't want to run from God. Ladies and gentlemen, we want to run to God. Hallelujah. Amen. We need, listen, the Lord, you've heard me say it, he has pressed the accelerator. This thing's moving at high speed. Hallelujah. Amen. We got law enforcement here tonight, but they wouldn't even be able to catch what God's up to. Praise God. I'm just simply saying, the anointing is here to break the yoke and to tear down every stronghold, and he's here to do it quick, fast, and in a hurry. Hallelujah. Amen. Don't you do like Pharaoh did. He did the dumbest thing I've ever heard of. Moses came to him and said, okay, you're going to let my people go. Now I'm ready to get rid of the frogs, this big plague in Egypt. And so he asked Pharaoh, he said, when do you want me to get rid of them? Pharaoh said, tomorrow. That's about dumb. If you got the opportunity to get rid of it tonight, let's get rid of it tonight. Don't let it go until tomorrow. Tomorrow may be too late. Tonight, today is the day of salvation. Tonight is the night God wants to bless you. He wants to save you. He wants to redeem you and lift you up out of the mire and out of the clay. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you for clapping your hands. Thank you for worshiping God, because that's what opens the door to opportunity and privilege with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Amen. But we've got, listen, somebody said, you don't work for salvation. Preacher, you're preaching, you got to work for something. No, I'm not. Amen. Not when the Word of God says it's free. and that it's available to every man, woman, child. Hallelujah. Amen. But I'm telling you something. Once you get that free salvation, it's time to go to work. Hallelujah. We got a house to fill. We got chairs to fill. Amen. Here in just a couple of weeks or so, this house is going to be full. We may have to put out more chairs. You hear what I'm telling you? Amen. The anointing is going to break a yoke, and the Spirit of God is going to flow, and that our dedication attendance is going to be overflowing in this house. We may have to open those doors so they can hear us in the foyer. I'm just telling you, this ain't big enough for what God is up to. And you and I may not be big enough for what God is up to. So we've got to stretch. We've got to be a blessing to God. Amen. The prophet of God, the Bible said, he laid himself upon the child and stretched himself upon the child. And when he did that, the child began to breathe and he came back alive. Hallelujah. I'm just telling you, if we're going to see the miracles, the signs and wonders that we want to see at Landmark, then we have got to stretch ourselves upon the need. The miracle is in your neighbor's house. That prophet of God came to that lady and he said, "What you got?" She said, "I got a little bit of oil." She said, "I got a little bit of bread. I'm going to feed it to my son and then we're going to die." He said, "Go to your neighbor's house and get me some empty vessels." They took off. The boy took off and went to get empty vessels. Amen. He come dragging in empty vessels. And as he came dragging them in, God began filling them up. And one after another, God filled those empty vessels with fresh oil. Amen. And I don't know what you take that to mean, but for the New Testament, I take that to mean a fresh anointing, a fresh revival, a refreshing of the Spirit of God in general, in totality, an anointing that will break yokes and tear down strongholds. Hey, if we're going to meet the need of this last generation, we got to have more than a religion. We've got to have more than a formality. We got to have more than three songs, a hymnal, and a little sermon that we bought from the bookstore. We've got to have an anointing. We've got to have an appointing. And we've got to have God's finger on us. Ladies and gentlemen, we got to have a relationship. We got to have a walk and a talk with Jesus Christ that is second to none of anything we have in this universe. Amen. I want you to take note. Amen. We wonder why some churches run 500 and some churches run 5. Some churches run 30. Some run 130. And they run those numbers, Brother Mike, for 100 years. And we wonder why. I'll tell you why. Amen. Because that son, he went out and got empty vessels. And when the miracle stopped, he was asked, "Where are the empty vessels?" He said, "There's no more in the house." That is the moment the miracle stopped. The Lord said, "I will if you will." And when the last one was full, the miracle stopped. Hey, are you happy with the number we have in here? Are you happy with the amount of family members you have in here? Are you happy? Hey, don't you understand that there are thousands more that need this message and they need this victory. They need this overcoming. They need this joy of the Lord that can be their strength. There are empty vessels out there. And when you go get the empty vessels and bring them into the house of God, God will fill them. And the amazing part is this. While he filled the vessels, mom and son got filled too. They were going to die before they got the vessels filled. But when they got the vessels filled, they got filled. Could it be that if we don't fill empty vessels, that we're going to run on empty? Is anybody ready? Are you ready for the revival of the magnitude that the Spirit of God is getting ready to pour out on this place? Already we can feel it on. Hey, I'm just telling, it don't matter if we live in Davidson County. It don't matter if we live in a village in South Africa. If we do what this preacher's talking about, we'll have revival. The world will know we're here. I'm telling you, our city will know we're here. We will make a difference, and the devil will not hinder it. Because the Lord said, "Upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not shall not, will not prevail against it. Hey, listen. Rejoice not against me, O mine enemy, for when I fall, I shall arise. Somebody's coming up. Somebody out there is coming up. Somebody's got your mind made up to come on up. But we've got to go from whatever to whatsoever the Lord desires and wants for me in my life. Mary was able to say whatsoever because of the miraculous events that took place in her life, confirming that God was with her. At the temple, she kept what she heard. I believe she kept what she heard in her heart. He was only 12 years old. It was the first time he mentioned it. Why are you worried about me? I must be about my Father's business. Isn't that what he said? Something clicked in her mind and said, something's up. I had to endure the hardship of the way he was born to begin with. When an angel spoke to me and told me I was going to give birth. Something's up again. He's 12 years old and I'm hearing things again. He's speaking to me in a wise way. He's only 12 years old. Amen. So that day at the wedding, when he said, woman, she remembered it again. Something's up. So we're going to change this. And instead of me reminding the Lord of what you need to do, I'm just going to tell the crowd from now on just to do whatsoever he says. I've got a feeling it was the only thing that sustained her at the cross. You and I know it was God in the flesh, but to Mary, that was her baby. And the blood squirting from his brow, holes in his hands, his feet, piercing in his side. Those things he said once he was 12. And that thing he said at the marriage, the miracle of the birth. I can just see her bow her head and say, whatsoever. It's a miracle the way I got him. This must be another miracle in the making. And I say, whatsoever. Would you stand with me tonight? At the temple, she kept what she heard in her heart. I'm just telling you tonight, the miracle. How many of you heard about Job? Wasn't that a story? That is a story. Job, what happened to Job was not... Job wasn't sick because he sinned, but Job did sin after he got sick. What do you mean, preacher? When bad things happen to good people shouldn't just try to give up. You shouldn't lay down and quit. You shouldn't, mentally, you shouldn't shut up and you shouldn't sit down. But that's what Job did. I know he was sick. Potsherds, broken clay, and scraping his body off. It was a pain just to wear clothes. From the sores and all of that, I could paint you a picture, but I won't. But the stench and all of that around Job. And there's Job saying, I wish I'd never been born. I wish my mother had never given life to me. And then finally his wife came to him and said, Job, honey, just curse God and die. But something that God gave him on the... You see, what happened to Job wasn't even about Job. It was about a devil that was given a report to God and said, have you considered Job? He's got all this stuff. If you ever touch him or lay your hand on him or do whatever, then he'll turn his back on you. And God says, I know Job better than that. Do whatever you got to do, but you can't kill him. I don't give you permission to kill him. And it was after his... I'm telling you, Job remembered something deep in his spirit, deep in his heart. And when he remembered... He committed himself a long time ago to not whatever, but he committed himself to whatsoever the Lord says, that will I do. And that's when Job came out of it and began to say, naked I came into this world and naked I will leave. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And we know that God said, hey, devil, that's enough. That's enough. You see what I see now. That's what I wanted you to see. Now get out of the way. And gave Job a double portion of everything he ever had. He blessed him again. Amen. But that didn't matter. That was not the ultimate to Job. What was the ultimate to Job was his relationship with God. And when God saw that relationship, it became more than a religion. It became something that God was going to be with Job about the rest of his life. I wonder if somebody tonight could change your mind to whatever, to whatsoever your will is in my life and my heart right now. I come before you. I want you to come and stand with me. I want you to make that kind of commitment. I want you to make that kind of dedication. Amen. I want you to relegate, dedicate, and give your life to God in a great way here tonight while the Spirit is high and the anointing is flowing. Let the Spirit of God touch you. Just tell God, I want your will. I want your will. I want your way.
Longing just to breathe.
I want my life to be lived the way you want my life to be. I want to go. I want to be and do. Talk to him, somebody. Talk to him.
I'll bring you more than a song.
I can't do this for you.
A song in itself.
Submit.
Is not what you have.
Surrender.
Tried.
Dedicate. Relegate your life.
You search much deeper within.
Whatsoever you ask of me. Let it unfold. Heart of worship.
It's all about you.
All about you.
It's all about you.
It's all
Jesus.
About you.
I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing I've been.
Yes, yes.
But
yes.
It's all about you.
All about you, Lord.
It's all about you, Jesus.
Give you more than a song.
Song in itself.
Song in itself.
Not what you have.
That's not what you've required of me.
You search much deeper.
You search much deeper, Lord.
Through the way things appear.
Oh, yes.
You're looking into my heart. I'm coming back to you.
saw a bumper sticker the other day. It said, or a church sign maybe. It said, if Jesus is your co-pilot, you need to trade seats. Amen. Let him have it all so he can make the best thing that it could ever be out of it. Right? Amen. Amen. God richly bless you. Thank you for being in church tonight.